SMQBs episode 186. So much to talk about this week. We've got the World Series is here, NFL, WNBA. I know House is excited for that conversation. A little college sports to talk about. Let's start off though. Hey, Milk, who are you bringing to the bar this week?
Well, considering it's Monday, and before this Sunday's Dolphins game, I'm sure you guys saw that Tua is back practicing, and as I understand it, is going to freaking play on Sunday. So I would like to take him to the bar on Monday and ask him what the hell he is thinking and why he is playing this Sunday. I don't understand it, guys.
He'll forget his answer by Sunday. That's the problem.
Right. As I say, ask him if he can count to 10 on Monday, and then we can run it back next week and see how he does.
And I read today he's not going to use that Guardian like helmet, which would be
protective. Oh, great. It just gets smarter and smarter.
Might as well go leather and no face mask.
Good God.
So, all right. Well, that's a good one. Pope, what about you?
I'm bringing John Smoltz, the analyst for Fox, to the bar to talk about all things World Series and see what his thoughts are. And to, pat him on the back for a great Braves career.
I get to watch him for most of his Braves career. Hey, House, you bringing someone?
Yeah, hopefully there's a bar stool big enough to seat Grimace. Just want to ask Grimace how he enjoyed his 15 minutes of fame. And now that he's being sent to the dustbin of irrelevancy, way to go, Mets and Grimace. Good job. Have a drink.
Woo. Brewster, who do you got?
Might be expensive bar tab, Toby.
I'm taking my man Giancarlo Stanton, who we were talking about earlier. Last offseason, if you took a poll of 5,000 Yankees fans, I bet 90% would have said they hoped that the Yanks move him on to another team.
Including you.
You were one of those.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the guy gets hurt every year. He strikes out at amazingly high rates. And then all of a sudden, the playoffs come along, and he's just bashing home runs like he's back on the Marlins back in his youth. I'd love to find out what in the hell's gotten into him and then ask him if he could please, now that he's on this resurgence, figure out how to lay off the low outside pitch, for God's sakes.
Do we need to go back to calling him Mike Stanton?
No.
Remember that was, he was Mike until half.
Yeah, his name is like Giancarlo Michael Cruz Stanton.
Yeah, he went by Mike for a long time, or at least somebody decided that. All right, I am bringing a two-time Super Bowl champion, the 1996 NFL Man of the Year.
Eli?
Four-time first-team All-Pro, a seven-time Pro Bowler, an all-rookie team player, a 1990s all-decade team player, NFL 100th anniversary all-time team, one of the 90 greatest Redskins.
Darryl Green.
Somebody in the Washington Commanders Ring of Fame, and the latest player to have his number retired, number 28, one Darryl Green.
He has gone full. Commander. Like he's there. He's all the way.
It's about time, too, Commando that they retired that number, huh?
Darryl Green has he's got the NFL record most consecutive seasons with an interception, 19, and honestly might be the greatest Redskin ever. Probably one of the greatest guys to come play in the NFL and play as long as he did. And the irony is, you can see the image behind me.
This is just a bar. It's having a drink, right? This is the bar closest to it. Right?
Just 19 years. We're going to cover him. So
it's not a roast. It's a bar.
Is the playoff game against the Cowboys, against the Bears, when he ran the punt back. They threw him back there. Game was, I think it was tied 14-14, and they threw him back to run a punt back, and he took it to the house. But in the meantime, he pulled the cartilage on his ribs, and he was inducted into the Hall of Fame, the Ring of Fame, at his number retired yesterday, the same day that Jaden Daniels did the same thing with his ribs. So it was kind of strange that injury happened yesterday, but Darryl Green, all around good guy, and I'm buying him anything he wants at the bar. I don't think he drinks though, so it'd be a cheap date. So, wow. All right, let's get into the NFL. House Rooster, what are you guys thinking after this week?
There were some great games, right? Last week, I'll tell you one thing that just keeps boggling my mind is how well the Chiefs adapt to change. Yes. I mean, you know, good Lord, they've got their best two running backs are injured. Their best two or three wide receivers are out. They're down to the lowest percentage air yards per pass in the league. Before this last game, I saw a stat where they were comparing Mahomes to Purdy. Mahomes was under 3.5 air yards per pass. Purdy was at 9 yards per pass. But somehow or another, through their defense and these little screens that they keep running and throwing in guys like off the heap, like Kareem Hunt, they continue to win, and they're the only undefeated team in the league. What do you guys think the magic is?
Say it's Big Red.
I was gonna say, Toby, it's got a hurdle over the house.
It's Big Red. I mean, this guy could just flat out coach, and you know, he does descend from the original Bill Walsh tree, and that was the origins of the system, right? It almost was who you placed in the system. The system worked, and not to diminish Patrick Mahomes being one of the already all-time greats, I think Reed has developed a system. If you watch some of that game, just some of so many of the run pass option plays, the bubble screens, like it required somebody who could catch the ball with skill, but it didn't require an all pro. And they have put people in that can do the basic plays that are obviously practiced over and over again. It is remarkable. You contrast with the team that they were playing, who is down Debo, down CMC, now will be down Ayuk for the rest of the year. And I think a lot of people are saying you can stick a fork in that team for the year.
But to me, the amazing thing about Coach Reed is, if you think about the before and after Mahomes, they have come full circle. They had the West Coast offense with Alex Smith as the quarterback, and he was doing just fine. I mean, they were an 11-win team. They just didn't see themselves becoming a Super Bowl team. So they drafted Mahomes with an eye toward getting away from the dink and dunk offense and airing it out, which he did for years, especially with Tyreek on the team. But now that they have so little talent on the offensive side of the board, they've had to go back to the original scheme, and it's working again. I mean, I just think it's amazing how they've been able to adapt.
So this might not be a popular take, but I mean, isn't the law of averages going to catch up with them at some point here? I mean, aren't they going to start? I think they're going to go on a big losing streak. I think you're going to see them lose a bunch of games. They're so beat up, and they don't move the ball well. I don't know. I mean, it's just, it just seems like it catches up with you at some point.
They can't go on a losing streak in that division. I mean, they got 6 games against one of the weaker divisions in the NFL. I mean, it's hard to imagine them gone. It might catch up to them, but the road leads through Kansas City. There's no question about it.
I thought Purdy helped them out tremendously yesterday. I mean, I understand he was down Debo, but he throws terrible passes.
I mean, somebody said
their record is a joke.
And they went away from running the ball. Like, I thought Jordan Mason was running.
Yeah, he was doing well.
Well, and like, they're just putting it in Purdy's hands. And like, that pick he threw on the goal line was.
Somebody said that was post game.
Okay, Milk, your game against the Chiefs might be their toughest game remaining. It's the Chiefs and the Bills. Otherwise, they play cupcakes.
Maybe we'll see.
I mean, I don't see any way they're going to go on a losing streak.
Nobody in the NFL is a
cupcake. Play Raiders, Broncos, Panthers, Patriots. Come on, guys. Browns? You're going to tell me those guys are going to beat the Chiefs?
Pretty. How do they have such an easy schedule?
I don't know.
So there were a couple of great games, one of which was the Lions at Vikings.
Yeah.
Coming into this game, all everyone wanted to talk about was the Vikings have the best defense in the league. They will tear up a quarterback like Jared Goff, who's not very mobile. with their blitzes. And fuck Jared fucking Goff, man. I mean, this guy's playing like the best quarterback in the league lately. Another near perfect game. He went 15 for 15 out of the chute, and his 16th pass was tipped at the line, and that's how he broke the streak. But man, he threw 22 out of 25 for 280 yards and two touchdowns, and he just keeps rolling to a 31-29 win. And I don't think the Vikings have a damn thing to be embarrassed about in that game because they played great too. They're two great teams who are 5-1. It's a great game, fun game to watch.
I think this emerging issue of the veteran savvy quarterback led by none other than Baker Mayfield, but I think Jared Goff kind of starts to fit in that profile. And then you had the return of Russell Wilson last night, which I think just shocked everybody.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
I mean, I was shocked by it.
I'm eating crow for sure.
You look at how some of these young guns who, you know, all these great draft classes and stuff like that, most of them turn out to be nothings. It's the guys this year that have seen it all. They've seen every defense. They've seen every kind of scheme, and they're just showing up. Jared Goff has turned into a very, very smart quarterback. Like, that efficiency is because of his smart quarterback. The last night, some of the throws that Russell Wilson were making, it wasn't so much like arm strength or this. It was the smarts.
It was
the touch and the smarts. The pass to Pickens in the end zone was a pass that Justin Fields could not throw.
Well, and just to add on to that, and I'll continue being a homer, but Marcus Mariota coming in off the bench in the first quarter. I mean, and then to put up 40, you know,
that was impressive. That was impressive.
I mean, that's another you know, graybeard who's coming in off the bench and just ready to go.
That shows you too that the Commanders have progressed way farther than people think. And it's not just Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, it's really. I mean, I just. Getting rid of the owner, I mean, it is just unbelievable. And here it is. I mean, it's really showing. And if you listen to Mariota after the game, he said that he's never been on a team where the locker room was as tight and people just loved being together as this team. I mean, that is, you haven't heard anybody say that for 20 years around Washington. It's pretty wild. I mean, I know guys say that when things are going well, but you know,
you said the same thing about Terry McLaurin a couple years ago in a tight locker room and the energy and the spirit of that locker room. I just think, frankly, the irony is, I think the fact that they were such a one-dimensional, he is, I think, one of their very best players on the whole team, but it's no longer like just cover him and that's all you have to worry about. They've developed through Kingsbury a really talented offense, and if you blanket McLaurin, there's lots of other ways you can get beat. And they've got a dynamic running back. It's a good team. They're a good team.
It helps, too, that you got rid of mediocre head coach, offensive coordinator, and defensive coordinator. I mean, that doesn't help.
Right, exactly.
I mean, these guys are head and shoulders better this year.
It's a whole different franchise.
Yeah.
And the Panthers also.
Yeah, the Panthers, yeah.
Well, right, yeah, but he was saying, you know, they've been playing great against good teams, and the mark of a good emerging team is you don't let down against a bad team, and they didn't.
No.
Right.
That's true.
Rooster, how about that Packers game?
That's what I was going to say. Keeping in with Pope's theme from last week, the NFC North is so strong that the second best game of the week was the Packers, who are now 5-2. So you've got two teams that are 5-1, and the Packers are 5-2 in the same division. And the Texans, you know, everybody's in love with the Texans, and the Packers gutted it out. Jordan Love is back. He's a really good quarterback. The Packers' defense played great. That was a nice game. And I'll tell you, it's going to be tough to slug it out in that division. The Bears are a good team. And
are those the three best teams in the NFC? Detroit, Minnesota, and Green Bay?
Could be.
You can make that argument.
You know what the Eagles? The Eagles are what, 4-2?
Yeah, they're not in the top.
And the
five.
Bucs are 4-2. Well, I would put Washington as the next team behind them at 5-2,
maybe.
And I think the Eagles are going to turn it around and probably surpass two or three of those teams. But right now, they are the best.
you know, that Packers game ended, a lot of people don't know, they had no good kicker. And you guys will remember the, I guess it was longtime Denver kicker. Then I think he went over to Jacksonville, but Brandon McManus, who had faced some kind of scandalous allegations that turned into originally a criminal investigation, which was dropped, and everything was dropped. And then he just needed a team. The Packers signed him this week, and he hasn't even had a week with the team. He makes a 44-yard field goal to win the game. Kind of crazy. Well, yeah,
we had signed him in the offseason and then released
That's right.
about 3 weeks later.
Yeah.
Well, what's interesting is both of those games we just talked about that we featured, both of those games, they weren't like field goal, you know, if it's tied, field goal, if you miss it, you go to overtime. They were, both teams were down by one, and these were long field goals. The guy, the Lions guy, is a rookie from Arkansas, hadn't missed a field goal yet, but converted that one. And then, like you said, House, I mean, it sure helps to have a good field goal kicker.
Yeah, it's feast or famine, because like Greg Zuerlein, Greg the Leg, he's turned into like a terrible kicker, like a terrible kicker. By the way, can we just all like, because I'm happy to do it every single week, but can we just bury Aaron Rodgers now as it has been?
He's washed. He's, I was going to bring that up next. He's got to be washed, right? Two interceptions.
He just looks miserable.
Looks
too,
old and he looks disinterested.
Like, by the way, did the Cleveland Browns have the best weekend of anybody?
Yes.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry. Is Jameis Winston now their quarterback?
He is. Did you guys see his video?
He wasn't even active for the last game. What's with that?
Did you see the Jameis full-throated defense of Deshaun Watson video? It's really over the top. Milk, you'll get a kick out of this. He basically gets behind the proverbial pulpit and goes on as like a preacher for 3 minutes defending the honor of Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun Watson, the great stand-up guy.
Who's going to make 72.9 against the cap next year, regardless whether he plays or not.
When I'm at my lowest point, please don't send Jameis Winston out as the guy to defend me. That's not who I'm looking for.
But this is why we'll always be able to say the Jets are the Jets. They have an aging quarterback, an offensive line that can't block anyone on the run or the pass, and a defense that can't stop the run. So what does Woody Johnson go out and do? He gets Devontae Adams to fix all that.
After firing the coach.
Yeah, I mean, what the hell is Devontae Adams going to do for any of those problems? It's just stupid.
Miserable. He looked miserable. And if we can just also punch weekly, anytime Chris Collinsworth takes the booth, he threw like a 6-yard pass that ended up too short for a first down. Rodgers did to Devontae Adams. And it came up short. And Collinsworth was like, I know it wasn't a first down, but that is the kind of play that's going to break open the game. That is going to break open the game because he knows he can get the ball to Devontae Adams. And you'll see that pass is going to break open the game. Oh God!
And you can already tell that Garrett Wilson is, you know, it's in his head.
Well, yeah, I mean, he looked great when that drop, when that pass bounced off his face mask. Right.
Aren't there rumors they're trying to trade him?
Yes,
I thought I saw that too. Yeah, so that's a
train
wreck.
Jets are dumb. The Jets are a 2-5 team that started out the year telling us they were going to the Super Bowl, and I had to laugh because the Jets are always the Jets.
What was the You guys watched that game last night. What was the issue when Rodgers threw the red flag back? Like,
I didn't see that.
Y'all see that part?
No.
The coach threw the
challenge flag.
The challenge flag, and then he grabbed it and threw it back to the coach. Like,
it might have been one of those deals where it was an automatic challenge by the booth, and you don't want to waste your challenge.
Was that the one that came in too late? Or was that, which game was the guy where the guy couldn't get out of his pocket in time and the field goal counted? I don't know.
Well, hey, House, can we ask you that? You got to be feeling better about the Eagles today, right? Things are going well and you're happy.
Yeah.
It's like playing the
Sirianni. You should apologize to Sirianni.
Yeah. No. Our win yesterday counts about as much as the Commanders win against the Panthers. I'm sorry, Bison. You did what you had to do, and we did what we had to do. Those are two bad teams. I didn't really realize. I had seen them play a better game the week before against the Bengals in a loss. I did not realize just how much Daniel Jones has regressed in every way. In every way. He doesn't even take off when he's supposed to. And his running game is worse. His passing game is terrible. He now has a first round pick that hates him. Malik Nabers is trashing him in the locker room pretty much. And I'll just say, as Milk said, this, I don't know how the Eagles will end up doing. I don't even know if they'll be a playoff team. They've got so many problems and there's so many injuries that are mounting up, but this will go down as one of the worst trades in the history of football. Saquon, yes, he had an injury, you know, history, but the guy, I heard that this was one of his fastest runs from scrimmage ever. He was running 22 miles per hour down that sideline. And he's just such, he's such a nice guy. Like, even after he scored a touchdown, he was like kind of playfully jawing, having a good time with Dexter Lawrence. Those former teammates love him. There's nothing not to like about him. He's just a clean, stand-up, great guy. But the Eagles have problems. And that should not be some kind of mirage that I actually thought the 4th-and-3 touchdown pass to A.J. Brown was a really dumb play call and a very lucky, very fortunate that A.J. Brown is so talented. I mean, Jalen threw it up and A.J. fortunately ran underneath it, but I don't know. I still think there's a lot of holes. I think we're going to get beat bad by the Bengals.
Yeah, that's a big game for both teams.
Yeah. House, do you still think that your two new coordinators are good, Kellen Moore and Vic Fangio?
I think Fangio, now that he has allowed these guys to blitz more, he's improved a lot in the last couple weeks. I think he started out bad, and I think he's improved some because we're getting a lot more sacks in the last couple weeks, which clearly shows a change in the blitzing game. I think Kellen Moore is not calling most of the offense. I think there's a split personality. Sirianni has admitted that he's calling some of the plays. I don't know how to judge Kellen Moore yet. I'm not
sure. I don't know how you have a team with AJ Brown, Saquon, and Devontae Smith on it, and you keep trying to feature Jalen Hurts.
And don't forget,
he should be the facilitator to those three superstars, and you guys would be unstoppable.
Well, here's what's bothering me a lot about our offense. Not to get too far into the weeds of this, but that offense and Jalen's skill set should be a three-step drop, period. It's something that Baker's doing a great job right now. Play after play after play, he's in a full seven-step drop and the pocket is collapsing and he's in trouble. I don't get why they're doing it. I put that on somebody, whether that's Kellen Moore or Sirianni. Change the playbook, like you said, like you've got the weapons.
Go under center, do some play action. You got the best running back in the NFC. Do play action. Hit your tight end a little bit, you know, and go for Brown. I mean, Jesus, there's this being in the gun, dropping back as deep as they do on every play is just doesn't make sense.
No, it makes no sense.
Milk, you got a big one tonight. Are you going?
I'm not going. I'm told Preston I'd watch it with him because I wasn't there for his birthday.
So. Oh, that's a good dad.
Dad of the year.
But it's killing me inside.
It's a good dad until he tells him he has to go to bed at halftime.
Right.
Yeah, so you went from punchable face of the week and to a lasso all with one birthday. That's pretty good. No, but wait a minute. You guys are getting 4.5 at home. That's got to hurt a little bit. I mean, you're not exactly having a bad year.
Yeah, Ravens are one of the hottest teams in the NFL. And I don't know how we're going to stop
King Henry.
Yeah.
And we've got a cornerback out. Look, their defense is not that great. I think we could score points, but it's coming down to Moana in the middle of the field. And if Vita Vey is going to have to stop Derrick Henry tonight for us to have a chance. So we'll see.
That could be an interesting collision. Hey, right, but Milk, you have nothing to worry about because the other two, your two competitors in your divisions have turned out to be frauds, I think.
I want to ask about that. Are the Falcons frauds, or can someone explain the enigma that is the Seattle Seahawks that takes it to the Falcons and loses to the Giants? What is the story with the Seahawks? Are they good or are they not?
They're the same as the Falcons. Yeah. They're mediocre. I mean, really, they're mediocre. They're not good. I don't know that you could call the Falcons flawless. I mean, they're not good.
I don't think Kenny Walker played. Well, here, I remember that game. They never ran Kenny Walker against the Giants.
Right.
They kept trying to, they kept acting like, you know, they were, they had the best quarterback in the league. And against the Falcons, Kenny Walker ran the ball and did, and scored like two touchdowns. So I think that's the difference. With the play calling was terrible against the Giants. And the Saints are banged up. You know, they don't have their quarterback, but man, they've gone from great to terrible. They got smoked by the Broncos.
I mean, they don't have a team anymore. 33-10.
The Bucs are going to walk into the division title there, don't you think?
I don't know, man. The Falcons have...
Might as well rest your offensive line for the rest of the year.
Yeah, you don't even need to worry about it. All right, anybody got anything else before we get into our locks?
Nope.
All right, who's got the locks from last
week? I've got the locks, and I got to tell you how proud I am of this pod. We are just, you can rely on us. You can make some money off this pod. I decided to go out on a limb. I thought the 49ers were going to get it all together. I don't know what I was thinking given how injured they are and how I could ever doubt the Chiefs. I won't again. I right now am the only loss of the pod this week. We had Hope taking the Commanders with a lusty 7.5 points. No problem. We had
Easy breezy.
The Bison, the Bengals 4.5 against the laughingstock Browns. No problem. Rooster, despite my denials, had Eagles 3.5 versus the Giants. No problem. Even a Canadian taking the Colts 3.5 versus the Dolphins was a victor, which only leaves tonight. Milk locked in the Bucks plus 3.5 versus the Ravens. We could go with a single defeat if Milk pulls this off.
Why?
Wow.
What are the records now? You're what are you, 6-1?
Yeah, I'm 6-1. Mm-hmm. And that moved Rooster and, well, Rooster only has two losses. So does Milk, but we have to wait to see about tonight. The other guys, Pope and Bison, are 4-3. So 6-1, 5-2. Milk could go to 5-2 tonight, and then 2-4-3. The entire league, no matter
over
what,
over 500.
500. The entire league. We are the NFC North of bettors.
That's crazy. That's hard to do. That really is hard to do in the NFL.
Yeah, we came up with the hard way.
Well, let's do it.
After last year, debacle.
Yeah,
we're coming through.
Well, I don't care at all what happens tonight. The Bucs minus 2.5 at home versus the Falcons next week is a layup.
Yeah.
Milk, that is the easiest game you'll have all year. What a joke the Falcons
are. They beat us.
This is revenge.
Revenge game? Okay. Revenge game? So I like it. I like the revenge game.
I'm taking... House, and apparently, Milk, you might have missed this last week, but everybody's going to go with different games. No repeats.
Cousin Justin rule.
Repeats on what? What do you mean?
Like nobody else can take the Bucs. No one else can take the Bucs.
Yeah, we can't load up on the same team.
Oh, okay. All right.
That way we spread the riches, Milk. Come
on. All right. Then I'm going next.
You're 5-2 team. You can go next. You're 5-2.
I'm going to take the Steelers minus 6.5 over the Giants because the Giants are never going to win another game.
Wow.
I like that.
Wow. Okay. So that takes us to technically onto the winning percentage. Milk, it's you next.
I like pissed off good teams. So I'm going to take, even though I hate Thursday night games, I'm going to take the Vikings minus 3 at the Rams.
Okay, that's a good one.
That was a good one.
Thursday night on the road, I don't like that.
So we'll flip a coin on the 2, 4, and 3-ers, and we'll let the producer pull up the rear, and Pope, you go next.
I've got... one of the historically worst teams that we've seen in a long time, the Panthers against the Broncos. Broncos giving 7.5. I think that's another no-brainer.
In Denver.
Wow.
In Denver.
Hope with
yes.
the big spreads.
Wow.
Okay.
The Broncos. All right.
All right. So I got the last, one of mine just went a little while ago.
But oh, just I'll take the Commanders. Just take
no,
them.
No, no. Oh, God, no. But I, it is curious getting 3 points at home.
Disrespect. Disrespect.
Yeah, that's all right. But I'm going to take the Packers giving 4.5 to Jacksonville.
Oh, that's a good one.
Okay.
How about the, I'm surprised no one took the Ravens giving 9 to the Browns. How the Browns can score any points?
Well, they don't have Deshaun anymore, so maybe they're going to score. I don't know.
Maybe.
It's got to be an improvement.
Right, what so happened in what happened in our parlay? Did
well,
I don't
we
even
were
know.
Close. We were close. Oh, that close. Doesn't really matter. We had the Bengals -4.5, and they covered. And then we had the over in the Texans Packers game of 47.5. And they got the 46.
Oh, man, does Vegas know it.
Vegas.
Yeah, they sure do.
Give me your parlay, Nace. I'm putting it in right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure I'm in love with this one, but you guys tell me what you think. The Texans -7.
Okay.
With the over in the Commanders. Wait a minute. Sorry. Hold on. That's wrong.
I did not.
Hold on. Sorry. That's wrong. Here it is. It's the Packers -4.5. Right. The Colts getting 6 with the under 43.5 in the Panthers Broncos game.
Ooh, I like that.
What's so the under?
The under, it's 43.5.
43.5 under Broncos, Colts +6, Packers -4.5. And
it's +595 on the odds.
Are we still we're not putting in $50 anymore, right?
I got 20 on this one.
I am putting it in right now as we speak.
Where are we going to win, Milk?
Okay.
$20 gets you 140.
All right.
Not bad, let's get not away bad. From the NFL and let's move right into some college sports. We got to at least touch on the big games this weekend, particularly Georgia, Texas, but I think there's a different conversation worth having. So, Pope, why don't you start us off on that? Let's try and get to the more interesting stuff.
Well, I mean, I think that people had been circling on their calendar this weekend for the Big Four with Georgia, UT, Tennessee, Alabama for quite a while, and you know, the Bama Tennessee game didn't deliver in the way I wanted it to go, but it was. Yeah, good game. Alabama clearly doesn't have it this year. Milroe just looks lost, like he's regressed completely from last year and beginning of this year before the second half of the Georgia game. Tennessee is, you know, they're a tough team. One loss, going to have to be dealt with. But the big game was Georgia-Texas in Austin. And you know, Kirby kind of went in with the mentality of nobody is thinking that we have a chance. I mean, you heard him on his post game. He said everybody on your network when ESPN interviewed him said that Texas would win. All the Texas celebrities were there on the sideline. Georgia just seemed like they were on a mission, and they played, you know, bulldog football for the first time in a while, maybe second half of the Alabama game. But clearly let the college world know they weren't to be discounted and, you know, are definitely in the driver's seat potentially for a playoff spot. Texas got exposed in a way that we didn't think. Their defense didn't play that bad, but their offense looked terrific to the point where Sark had to yank Ewers at the end of the first half and put Manning in for a couple possessions, and Manning wasn't able to move the ball and had a fumble. Sark did the right thing, put Ewers back in. There was a really, really controversial call. I don't know if we'll talk about it, but it was definitely not defensive pass interference against Texas. If anything, it was offensive pass interference against Georgia, but they called defensive pass interference against Texas, and the student section rained water bottles and other objects down on the field to the point where the ref stopped play, and then during that period of time, huddled and decided that they got the call wrong and they reversed the call. It wasn't a booth replay. I mean, it's a judgment call. There's no replay of it, but because of the extra time, they thought about it. And the guy's like, well, maybe he was the one who initiated. So we'll reverse the call. Texas gets the ball inside Georgia and scores in two, 10-yard line, scores in two plays. It could have made a difference. It didn't. Georgia came through, won the game, but, you know, it certainly leaves a lot of questions about officiating that game. And are we going to reward home teams with throwing shit on the field if they don't like a call and maybe to get a reversal? So big game this week is LSU at A&M. It's kind of a down week, really, on the schedule. Bunch of one-loss SEC teams vying for the final, you know, two slots for SEC championship. Milk, what do you got?
No, I mean, I think you said it perfectly. I was extremely impressed with, you know, I think Georgia still has problems offensively. Their defense won them that game. I mean, Beck threw three interceptions.
Yeah.
And they've been struggling all year offensively, but yeah, I mean, I've never seen I had Texas, especially after that Michigan game. I mean, they had a tough schedule, but I mean, I did not see a 15-point loss at home, which I think was the biggest. I saw somebody today was like that the biggest point loss by the number one team at home since 1982.
Wow. Wow.
Something like that.
That's kind of crazy.
It was nuts.
That big of a loss, right? I mean, it's, you know, it's right. Two scores.
Yeah.
They were being embarrassed in the first half, 23-0 at halftime.
Embarrassed. And just completely shocking. Yeah. So now we've got Oregon, who slides in there number one. I'm not sold on them either.
Not yet.
And I don't know who their toughest game is next week against Illinois. And then it's a bunch of unranked teams. So I don't see them losing. I mean, Illinois smart.
Thank goodness we got 12 teams going to the playoff because all, you know, that's that.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter that much.
All I heard from that is that Alabama sucks.
Yeah. The thing I want to talk about though is
hard to argue
looking towards Rooster, your state there. Probably the biggest story in college sports was Tony Bennett from UVA retiring, the basketball coach stepping aside 2 weeks just about before the season starts, and really saying because the game is sort of the sports are kind of a mess, college sports, and he wasn't the right guy to do the job anymore given the way that college sports are. I don't know. I mean, I think it's pretty telling when you have guys like Saban, Jay Wright, Tony Bennett, these guys walking away from the game because it's just such a different environment out there. And Bennett was pretty clear. I thought it was interesting. You know, he said, he's like, don't get me wrong, I'm in favor of players getting revenue. He's like, you know, they're the reason that there's so much revenue out there. And he wasn't against that, but he made the point that with the transfer portal, with the agents, with all this stuff, it's just college sports are just in a horrible spot. And that there needs to be a change to it. And I think that's a pretty big indictment of college sports. What do you guys think?
There's an excellent article in the Washington Post today on this. And they went around and tried to pull the covers off this and see how much money is involved at each school, who's controlling the purse strings, and, you know, sent a bunch of Freedom of Information Act requests to the public schools. Got limited responses. I mean, they're really trying to keep this under wraps. But I would commend that article to everybody. It just shows you how awful the situation is. And, you know, I remember when this first came up, Milk particularly kept saying the unintended consequences were going to kill college sports. And sure enough, it's happening. And you know what? Virginia was one of the maybe six teams in the Post article that actually was transparent with the Post about what they do. And still it was too much for Tony Bennett because you've got these consortiums of the kind of guys you used to see on old time football shows about Texas high school, local businessmen controlling the game, right? Controlling the coach and all this, all the way. And now it's all the way up to college where they're just raising all kinds of money. And one of the players they featured was a Shedeur Sanders at Colorado. He's raking in like over $400,000 a year.
He's driving a Rolls Royce.
I think it's way more than that.
$400,000 car around campus.
I think he's making like $4 million a year.
That's what the school reports. There's way more than that.
Yeah.
Arch is making like three.
Maybe the article was this. There's just like one or two sponsors paying him $400 a year, but he's making a lot more than that. His sister, who doesn't even play anymore, played for the girls, maybe volleyball team, and is making like $50,000 just by doing TikTok stuff for the school. I mean, it's nuts, and it's all about the stars. Most of the athletes aren't getting jack shit. It's a terrible system. But Tony, I may be in the minority here in Virginia. I never liked him as a coach. I thought Virginia basketball was the most boring thing you could ever watch on television. It was like watching the old Four Corners at Carolina for the whole game. And but still, he is a quality, upstanding, ethical person. And for the sport to lose a guy like him is bad.
I would love to talk to one of his players and hear what their thoughts are on it, because they seem like the whole team was there at the press conference, mm-hmm. and they looked disappointed and they looked upset. And I don't know. I would just love to get a player's thoughts on it. Somebody who's kind of in the middle of it and maybe is, you know, a young person who doesn't appreciate what's happening to the sport. I'd just be really curious.
Something had to have happened more than what he's saying, though, because for him to stiff his team three and a half weeks before the season starts, that's not
punchable.
Yeah,
it's,
I think,
punchable.
So. Something happened.
It's punchable. The portal closed months ago. The players have been practicing. They're gelling. They're figuring out everything. And the coach says 2 weeks before the first game,
I quit.
Now I've decided I've had it. You know, I don't have a problem with them saying the college sport. First of all, this affected them last year. It affected them the year before. If this bothered you at the end of last season, give the players a chance to move schools. Give the new coach a chance to acclimate. I think what he probably did is, for the benefit of his coaching staff and the benefit of the school, to not lose all the players and still have a season, he stiffed his players.
Interesting.
That's the irony to all of this. The irony is the system that he's upset about, the kind of big FU to the system is, and I'm not going to let my players benefit from it once I walk away. They're stuck to stay here with some assistant coach. I just think it's a punchable offense.
Wow.
That's a
hot take.
It is, but I think the timing is really crappy. And I'll tell you, although I probably never have a child who would be tall enough or talented enough to play basketball, if I did have a child that was playing basketball at a school and the coach walked away 2 weeks before, I would be livid, like beyond livid. So the kids were probably showing disappointment, but feeling a lot more than that.
You could make the same argument about your guy, Jay Wright, though. I mean, people went to Villanova to play for him. When he retired, you know,
he got out plenty of time.
But he retired at the end of the season.
Yeah, but even so, he left them hanging. He was 60 years old. None of those kids thought he was going to retire. They all went there. And they
all had a chance to move along. They all had a chance to move along.
Well, you don't want to just move along. I mean,
yeah, of course. You want to play for that coach forever,
but then, you know, that argument, if you take that argument to its extreme, he could never retire.
Right.
Well, every coach that retires runs into that.
I know, but you can't.
The timing is 2 weeks before shitty.
It just shows you how bad the whole thing is, though. And you're right.
Something
probably did happen. There's probably some kid who's saying, I'm not playing unless I get X, Y, and Z. And he said, fuck, enough of this. Enough of this shit.
You know which coach I have a lot of respect for now, and I know people hate him, is Dabo. Oh. Because Dabo has said, I'm not doing anything with the transfer portal. I am building a program from within.
Yeah, we'll see.
I mean, Dabo
he recruits.
It's impressive. That's true.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, I mean, this year they're finally playing a little better, but His results without using the transfer portal have got him on the beginning of the year when they got blown out by Georgia. There was talk about Dabo being past his time and time to go get somebody to get more energetic and go get transfer portal guys.
Plus, all this name, image, and likeness stuff just made legal what he was doing anyway under the table before. So, just saying.
Yeah, let's not.
All right. Anything else on college sports? Well, there'll certainly be more to talk about. It is a changing environment and not changing for the better right now. So, Rooster, let's talk a little World Series, man. You got to be excited.
All is right with the world in sports again.
Oh,
the
my
Yankees
God.
Are in the World Series, baby.
Oh, my God.
Do you realize if you're a 23-year-old kid in this country, you think the Yankees make the World Series once every 20 years?
I can't do
it. It is a
it's
different
a drought.
World.
It's been a drought.
This is an anomaly.
I don't think any of us knew you it's back been, when the Yankees were in the World Series.
It's been since we swept the Phillies.
Easy.
Oh, wow.
Easy. I think we got one game out of that, did we? No.
Sweep, maybe. I didn't think they were going to pull it off because the pitching staff has been shaky all year long and lots of injuries. But damn, if Gerrit Cole and Rodon didn't come back and pitch their guts out at the end of the year in the playoffs, I'm hoping that Nestor comes back healthy and gives them some more gut pitching because they need a third. Heel is young and inexperienced, and he's got the talent, but didn't look great against the Guardians. I don't know what was going on with Stroman. They didn't put him in at all, I don't think, in that series. And Clark Schmidt just got shelled, so he's got to be out of the rotation for the World Series. It's all going to come down to pitching. Both teams are stacked with hitters. I don't understand the Dodgers batting lineup at all. Freddie Freeman is clearly hurt, and they're not protecting him. And Shohei Ohtani hits a whole lot better when people are on base in front of him and they have him batting leadoff.
He's hit like eight.
So a fucking slugger batting leadoff.
18 for 22 or something like that in the playoffs with men on base. Ridiculous.
Yeah. I don't understand what they're doing, but it doesn't matter. They have so much talent with Mookie and others. They can just all hit. I'm still shocked that Giancarlo Stanton has made such a great resurrection. I hope it continues in the World Series, and I really hope Aaron Judge has a great World Series. He deserves it.
So Rooster, I love your text on the pitching rotation. You want to share with that with the listeners?
Yeah, it's Cole, Rodon, pray for rain, Cole, Rodon.
I love that.
What is it?
I think it was an old Cardinal saying before all of our time, before you go accusing me of being old milk. Yeah. I think it was Dizzy
today,
Dean. Dean and Sane, pray for rain.
Yeah. Is this the 12th World Series between the two teams?
It's the most ever, whatever.
Yeah,
it is.
Number 12.
I think it's number 12.
First one since 1981.
Yeah.
So this would be the most watched World Series.
Okay. Listen, we're gonna get some more angry Toby for today.
Oh God.
Oh okay, wow.
What are you mad about?
I mean, I can't matchup possible.
Okay. I can't tell you how excited I am to see the players that are playing in this game. There's no question in my mind. I want to see Ohtani. I want to see Judge. But can we all stop with the romanticization of this game? That where it's like, oh, it's back in the 50s or the 60s or 70s or even 1981. These two teams are what you can assemble as a super team.
Says the Phillies fan.
Yeah.
That's true. Absolutely.
What's your payroll?
No, wait, no, whoa. Wait,
no, I have a high payroll. It's the
is
only
this
way you
the argument?
Wow.
I'm
are you
all
doing, are you doing my, a payroll argument?
I love no, it. It's not a payroll argument. It's just
sometimes my like bitterness.
I don't need the black and white grainy footage.
I'm
just accept it for what it
house.
Is.
Are you not nostalgic? You're not a baseball traditionalist. Nostalgia. Oh, come on, man.
I love nostalgia, but what is nostalgic about this game?
You should be calling yourself the luckiest man alive.
Why is it?
To watch this
World Series.
What
is nostalgic about tonight, this game? This series, this game?
It's the Yankees. We're going for number 28.
Leave the money in an envelope by the bed.
It's the two biggest franchises.
Okay.
With the two best players.
Okay.
I mean, this is what you wanted to see this year.
I would have loved to have seen Ohtani get the California Angels a World Series. I would have loved to see Jazz Chisholm get the Florida Marlins a World Series. I would have loved to see these players stick it out and get the World Series for their teams. They didn't. And so now we get to see them on a super team. And it's going to be awesome. And the ratings are going to be huge. And all that's going to be great. I just don't need the Babe Ruth and the Jackie Robinson videos and all that stuff.
Are you telling me if the Phillies were in it, you wouldn't bring it up. Mike Schmidt and Steve Carlton? And
on Soto next
year. How great it is to roll back Dick Allen.
You've paid two, House.
Yes.
I think it's great. I am thrilled that's what the matchup is. I'm very excited to see it. Can we just stop with all the like drooling over nostalgia? What is nostalgic about this game? You know what's nostalgic?
The answer is absolutely not.
Dodger baseball.
We got game one Friday, game two Saturday, and then we'll be back with you before game three, which is next Monday.
Can we make our picks?
Yeah.
Yeah. Go for it, House.
Yankees in six.
All right. They're going to celebrate champagne in the Dodger locker room,
huh? Indeed. Yep.
Milk?
I'm going to go to the exact opposite of that. I like the six games, but I like the Dodgers.
Interesting.
All right.
Yep.
Pope?
Dodgers in seven.
Huh?
Interesting.
All right, I'm going to take the Yankees in six with Juan Soto being the MVP of the World Series.
Of course you're going to.
Rooster, I'm giving you the last word. You get the last
word. I'm going to say the Yankees win the first two games, and then the Dodgers come roaring back. Yankees in seven.
All right. Wow. Let's just hope we have a great series. We deserve it.
I will say, I always tease Bison about the Juan Soto thing because he's like on his knees for him every single podcast, but I will just say that at bat,
that home run,
that at bat under those circumstances and the way he kept working that count and that pitcher and the way just his mannerisms, like the way he was nodding and going on. And it was not just a physical game. It was a mental game. He won a mental and physical war and in the biggest situation, just blasted that thing. That was a very, very impressive postseason at bat.
You could argue it was a Ted Williams like moment.
I will give him a slight thumbs up. Slight thumbs up.
He's pretty awesome.
The one thing I will say, though, that would give me pause if I was a Yankees fan is that the Yankees had to go through the Royals and the Guardians. I mean, not exactly, a gauntlet there coming through. So
they had to beat the Orioles for the division, too. So that was their biggest challenge. So let me ask you guys this. Of all the teams in the postseason, which team was founded first? What is the oldest team in the playoffs?
In the postseason?
Yep.
Well, wait, let's see.
For some reason, I want to say Cleveland, but
I was going to say the Braves.
Milk, you are correct.
Wow. Yes.
Wow.
Early 1900s.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't know how I knew that.
Yankees were a different team before they were the Yankees.
All right.
I think it was the Highlanders.
They were the Highlanders, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else on the World Series? We'll be back next week, and we'll be in the thick of it at that point.
Good luck, Rooster.
Thank you.
Good luck, Rooster. All right.
Yep.
By the way, Bison, do I need to send you that theme music for the production?
You know what? You send it to me, and when they win the World Series, we'll play it at the end.
Okay.
I'll get it in there for you if they win.
We'll give you.
All right. I got to just mention the WNBA championship last night. Went to five games, went all the way down to overtime, where the New York Liberty, finally a basketball championship in New York, might be the only one they see for a little while. But the Liberty outlasted the Lynx, the Minnesota Lynx. But what was interesting about it was not without controversy, where there was a pretty ticky-tack foul called with about 5 seconds left to go that led to two free throws for Breanna Stewart, who tied the game up and sent it to overtime. I don't know how I feel about the Lynx coach, though, saying it was stolen from them at the post game, you know, on the court, just coming right out and saying, I know everyone won't like this and I'll get grief for it, but this championship was ours. It was stolen. That's pretty yeah. tough.
You know what? You know what? A lot of the NBA men's basketball players agree with that coach.
They should shut their traps.
All the very best thought that they were all commenting on it on Twitter.
I don't have any pride. You know what? That's exactly who should comment on it. You know who shouldn't comment like that? The head coach of the losing team.
Okay, that's fair.
It sounds like sour grapes.
This is a product of 24-hour a day sports news coverage where people have to find something provocative to say. I watched that play. It was a fucking foul, period. It was a foul.
But she
got hit right on the forearm. That's not the question, though. That wasn't the issue. The issue is, was it a foul? She got hit on the wrist and forearm of her shooting arm, and it was a foul. It was right in the paint, and even the announcer said, yeah, that's a foul.
Anyway, well, I mean, listen, like I said, my gripe is I just think if you're the coach, just, you know.
Yeah, that was
say that.
Low class for the coach to say.
But anyway, it was, you know, listen, it was pretty fun, though, to see. With all the attention on the WNBA this year, you go down and you have probably one of the biggest markets for the WNBA. The first team, one of the first teams, 28 years in the Liberty had never won the championship before, and it goes five games into overtime. Some of the basketball down the stretch wasn't necessarily that great. It wasn't, you know, they weren't exactly...
So rough.
Bombing, and hitting bombs or anything. It was a little rough, but, you know, that's playoff hoops, right? So, anyway.
Terrible.
Congrats to the Liberty on that.
Did you see, Bison, where the players opted out of their collective bargaining agreement today?
I did not.
Yeah. They're wanting some more of the pie now that WNBA have people like us watching it.
I had a three-screen multi-view last night going, so... it had my attention.
Well, they also have a all competitor right. league now, too.
Yeah. All right, who's got a punch? Don't call it a
comeback. I've got one. Does anyone else?
I use mine.
Thank you, Rooster. You got it.
All right, I'm going to punch House's favorite guy to punch. Who's that?
Sirianni.
Tom Brady. Brady.
Let's go.
Oh, boy.
I have a lasso for this week. His name
is
Rooster.
Unreal.
Fox's number one color TV color analyst is now a part-time owner of the Las Vegas Raiders. It's been approved,
ooh,
which means that he is even further limited on what he can say on air.
That's right. That's right.
It's absurd. And he's not been interesting before he was the owner. Now he's going to be even duller. Needs to get the hell off the air and give us Greg Olson back because he sucks. And this is a clear conflict of interest.
Yeah,
I'm gonna punch his plastic face back to what it used to look like.
Ooh. Doesn't make a lot of sense how he can be an owner and on air.
There's a lot of bitterness towards Brady. He sucks.
He's not interesting. He's
terrible at it.
A lot of bitterness.
I think most of them suck. So, any other punches?
Yes, we already brought it up, but the Dolphins team doctor needs to be punched hard, maybe to the point of concussion.
Whoa.
If you have Tyreek Hill on your fantasy team,
it might be okay.
And your fantasy team is plummeting. Maybe you're
oh boy. All right, who's got a lasso? Chirp, 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 chirp. Crickets. Another all right. Well, we'll let that go. All right, no lassos. How about buzzer beaters? Anybody?
Someone's got to have one.
I'll go.
Go ahead, Pope. We haven't heard from you.
We had a not a competitive race for the front in the F1 U.S. Grand Prix yesterday in Austin, but quite a race for finishing on the podium between Norris and Max. Was resulting in Norris actually took the lead, but he did outside the track limit as did Max. I don't know that was a questionable call to me. I thought Norris had a established position, but anyway, Max takes three, Norris takes four, Leclerc wins, and he called it a lonely day because nobody was even near him. Sainz got second, and next race, you know, can he chip away at Max? Max is moving further towards the Drivers' Championship, and McLaren is moving further towards Constructors' Championship. But great day in Austin yesterday.
Else, did you have one?
Today, I'm going to keep my eye on for the rest of the college football season on, as you guys talk about the big teams, I'm going to talk about that 12 spot reserve for the group of five. I want you guys to stay up Friday night. It's going to be a really important game relating to that number 12 spot. I think that Boise State is close to locking this spot up, along with the Heisman Trophy and Ashton Gentry, who is just a beast. And I would, if I'm a team that's interested in a running back next year, I would take him as high as necessary in the draft. I know you don't normally do that, but he's a very, very special player. The 17th ranked Boise State team are going to be playing at a pretty impressive UNLV team who, despite losing their quarterback, still very, very good. Boise State's only a 2.5-point favorite. Friday night at 10:30 is going to be a long way towards whether or not Boise State pretty much locks, gets close to locking up that spot, or if it opens up to potentially other teams.
Which the Notre Dame Navy game might have impact on too, that too. This weekend.
That too. Yeah. That's a big one. Navy can really compete in that game for sure.
All right. I see Rooster's lips moving, but I don't hear anything. Is that just me?
Yeah, I think the Yankees theme song cut him off.
They cut him off.
This is not a good sign for the Yankees.
Not good.
Not a good sign.
he's getting out all the bad mojo now.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, well. We lost.
Well, it's too bad.
All right. Good luck, Rooster, on the Yankees.
I think if I could read his lips, I think he was saying that he doesn't really think the Yankees are going to win it, and he thinks that the Dodgers are the far superior team. That's what it looked like to me. So
it sounds like he's saying
Dodgers.
Yeah, Aaron Judge is a choking dog.
Let me read the lips. I'm sorry we spent so much and took this from all your teams, but we are going to get another trophy.
All right. Anybody, anything else? Sorry, Mr.
The SMQBs are Brian Bandwagon Pope, who hails from Dallas, Texas, and has never met a first-place team that he didn't have a personal connection to. Michael Rooster Phelan, hailing from Richmond, and who roots for teams from New York, or is it Boston? I can't remember which it was. One or the other. Also, Patrick Milk Michler from Tampa Bay. And he is still massively in love with Tom Brady and will never get over his man crush on the GOAT. Toby House Milrod, a long-suffering sports fan hailing from Philadelphia, whose Eagles team, they're still looking for another quarterback. And I am Chris Bison Nace, hailing from Washington, District of Champions. Thanks for listening.